arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's really very good that we can be here again another Saturday evening to continue in the book of James, the epistle of James. Last time we stopped at chapter 4, and the last verse was verse 17. And we are now going to start chapter 5. So before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are God. You reign supreme. There is none like you, and none can be compared to you. So we just thank you for this privilege, that we can be called your children. Oh God, your Spirit bears witness with us that we belong to you. So we thank you for this another privilege to call upon your name. Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing. So we come in the name of Jesus, and we pray, O God Almighty, that you will continue to lead and guide us into all truth. Father God, we know that your word is truth. And as your word come forth, I pray it will pierce the hearts of your people, bringing forth change. Father God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. So we pray right now, O God, that, O God Almighty Lord, those people who are listening, O God, their hearts and minds will be inclined towards your word. O God, they will hear your word and purpose in their hearts to practice your words. Father, we pray for those that are not yet saved. As they hear these words, O God, they will, O God Almighty, admit that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, that souls will be saved, souls will be transformed as your word go forth. So we thank you that your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we look to you, O God, for your word to work in the hearts of your people as we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we continue in the epistle of James, and we are starting chapter 5. But before I start on verse 1, let me go back to verse 17 of chapter 4. The word of God says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we don't want to know to do the right thing and don't do it. James says, if we do that, then we are sinning, because that's a sin of omission. You omit to do what you know you are supposed to do. So we are to do the right thing at all times and trust the Lord to see us through and to keep us walking in truth and honesty on this journey. So we don't want to commit the sin of omission, but we want to commit to do the right thing and to walk in holiness and righteousness. So we are going to start in chapter 5, verse 1. The word of God says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. So James was warning the rich men who are rich in this world with all this world goods and not rich in Christ. He was telling them to look at their present state and also consider the misery that shall come upon them. The misery of dying without Christ. James was telling them to weep and howl. Weep and howl. You're supposed to be weeping if you die without Christ. Because as the Lord Jesus tells us, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because you dying without Christ, you are eternally separated from God. And Jesus himself tells the story in Luke 16. He spoke of this rich man and this poor man. The word of God says in Luke 16, 19 through 31, he said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously. So he was doing well. He was living in luxury. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. This man was poor and was sick. His body was filled with sores. And the word of God said, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So for him to get any relief from the pain of his sores, it was the dogs who came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So it is assuring us, people of God, that the poor man who died in Christ, he was escorted by angels into paradise, into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But look on where the rich man went in verse 23 of Luke 16. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. So it is a showing, people of God, the rich man lived his life of luxury and was living it up during his days here on earth. But in death, without Christ, he was tormented. But Lazarus, who suffered here, didn't have food to eat, couldn't find medical care. But now he was living in paradise. He was escorted by the angels into that place of paradise where Abraham was. Abraham said, Lazarus now is comforted, but you are tormented. And the word of God said in verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So this rich man was in this place of torment because he died without Christ. And now he was asking Abraham to send Lazarus to his brethren, to his brothers, to tell them to stay away from this place, to put their trust in Jesus. Verse 28 says, for I have 5 brethren, and that he may testify unto them that they also come, that they may also come into this place, that lest they come into this place of torment. So Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nah, Father Abraham, for if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. The last verse, verse 31 said, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So Abraham was saying, if they don't take heed to the word of God, he speaks of Moses and the prophets, the written words that were left for the people to hear and to repent. If you don't take heed from hearing the word of God, then even if someone rises from the dead and tell you that there is torment down here, you won't believe. So it is the word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. It is the word that brings transformation. It is the word that brings faith to the hearts of evil men. So as Jesus told this story, James was telling the rich man the misery, reminding them of the misery that will become, that they will encounter if they die without Christ. Verse 2 of James chapter 5. Verse 2 of James chapter 5 said, your riches are corrupted and your garments moth-eaten. Your riches are corrupted and your garments moth-eaten. So James was saying to the rich man that his riches are tainted and his covering is faulty. These riches at times are by dishonest gain. It comes through robbing and oppressing the poor. This rich man, he has a false sense of security. People of God, we have to understand that our riches are in Christ Jesus. Our security is in Christ Jesus. So we have to have the right perspective and come to understand that we cannot set our minds and things here on earth, but we have to place our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know that our riches is in Christ Jesus. All of these things here on earth, they are temporal, but the things of God are eternal. So we have to have the right perspective, people of God. We have to understand that all these things that we have here is to just help us in our everyday life for our temporary living here on earth. But when we have Christ Jesus, we know that we have eternal life, and we are also privileged to all the spiritual blessings that comes through knowing Christ. So we have to come to understand and put our lives in the right perspective and set our lives, set the priority. What is priority in our lives? Make sure our priority is our eternal home, not this temporary home here on earth, but our eternal home. Verse 3 of James chapter 5 says, your gold and silver is conquered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. So James was saying to this rich man that even your gold and silver will corrode. And remember, people of God, gold and silver do not usually corrode. But what James was getting across to this rich man is that his riches will perish. So when he said your gold and silver will corrode, he's speaking that your riches will perish. And all the greed for more wealth shall testify against the rich man on the last day. All the rich man's focus is on his wealth and saving up his treasure for his last days, not thinking about his soul. But the word of God tells us in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain this whole world and lose his own soul? So we have to come to understand, people of God, what is the most profitable thing to us? The most profitable thing is to know that our souls are saved, that we have an eternal home, because everything on this earth is temporal, but the things of God is eternal. Look at verse 4 of James chapter 5. It says, behold the hire of the laborers. James still speaking to the rich man. Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. Crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. James was speaking to the rich man who robbed the common laborers of their wages. James was saying that they are crying over the injustice, and their cries have come up to the ears of the Lord of hosts. The cries of The poor that has been oppressed have come up to the ears of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's army. He is the God who wars for his people. He is the Lord of heaven's army, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of Sabaoth, he is the Lord of hosts. He is the God who wars for his people. So when we oppress God's people, when we oppress the poor and needy, and when we heap all these riches on ourselves and not thinking of those that we have wronged, the word of God says, the Lord of heaven's army, he will fight for his people. He will war for his people. Verse 5 of James chapter 5. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your heart as in a day of slaughter. So James was still speaking to the rich man, reminding him that he lived in worldly pleasure and loose living, wanton living, loose living, wild living. His heart has been fattened. His heart has been fattened by the evil of this world. His heart has been fattened by the goods that he has accumulated through dishonest gain and oppressing the poor and the needy. So James was saying to that rich man, you have lived that life of pleasure here on earth, and you have been so wild in your living. It was all about nourishing your own heart. You didn't care about anybody else. But the word of God is telling us that there's a day of reckoning that is coming. The word of God says there's a day coming when every man will give account to God of what he has done in this body, whether it be good or evil. James chapter 5, verse 6. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. So James continued to speak to that rich man. The rich man has condemned the just man, judged them and killed them. It might not even be physical death, but oppress them, oppression of the just. And James was saying that the just doesn't not even retaliate. He does not resist. He does not retaliate. But he continues in verse 7. And he turned to the brethren. He turned to the saints who were being oppressed and going through difficult times during that time. He spoke to them in verse 7 of James chapter 5. Speaking to the saints, he said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. So James was encouraging the brethren to continue to be long-suffering, continue to endure hardship until Christ comes. He gave the analogy of the farmer waiting for the produce of his crops and have to wait long for it until he received the early rain and the late rain. The early rain is to grow the crops. And the late rain, the latter rain, is to mature the crops. So we need the two rains. The first rain to get the crops growing, and the last rain to mature the crops. So the farmer would await the farmer and the latter rain. He would await the early rain and the late rain. And so as believers, people of God in Jesus Christ, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to rain on us so we can grow and mature in Christ Jesus and be ready for his return. I believe the Lord is preparing us. The Lord is preparing his bride, the church, to be in a state of readiness, that when he comes, we will be ready to go with him. We want, oh, people of God, to grow up in Christ Jesus. We cannot stay as babes forever. We cannot be like little children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But we have to come to that place of maturity, and only the Holy Spirit can mature us. But as he speaks to our hearts, we are to yield to him. We are to come to that place of complete surrender to him. And we are going to see the change in us. We are going to be mature believers who are led by the Spirit. Verse 8 of James chapter 5. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So James was commanding the believers to be long-suffering. Be long-suffering. Be those that endure and establish their hearts. Be settled in Christ. People of God, we have to be settled in Christ. We can't be of two opinions. We are either of God or of the devil. We have to come to understand that we now have to be settled in Christ. For the coming of the Lord is near. We can't be unsettled in our minds. We can't have divided minds. We now have to know of a surety who we are in Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to mature us, for he is coming back and his coming is nearer than we think. So as believers, people of God, we are called to be people who are long-suffering. We are called to endure. Hardship will come. Affliction will come. Pressures of life will come upon us. But we are called to settle our hearts in Christ Jesus. Settle our hearts in him. For his coming is near. His coming is near, people of God. His coming is nearer than we think. So let us come to that place of truly being rooted and grounded and settled in Christ Jesus. Verse 9 of James chapter 5 says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So James was telling the brethren not to be grumbling or speaking against each other, lest they bring on condemnation on themselves, lest they bring on judgment on themselves. So people of God, it's for us to come to that place of not being grumblers, or not being those that will speak evil against each other. Many times we bring down judgment on ourselves. James said, lest, for fear that you might bring down judgment on yourself. Don't do that. He said, look, behold, or look, the judge standeth before the door. The coming of the Lord is so close. People of God, the coming of the Lord is near. It's for us to come to that place of acknowledging the truth. The signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus said, when you see all these signs that he has spoken about, you can read Matthew 24. When you see all these signs, you look up, for your redemption draw it nigh. Who is our redemption? Christ himself is our redemption, and his coming is near. He's coming for a people who are ready, a people who are prepared, a people whose hearts and minds are stayed on him because they trust in him. So we have to come to that place, people of God, of making up our minds. Is it Jesus or is it the devil? So we have to make up our minds. We can't be of two opinions. We can't serve two masters. We have to come to that place of choosing Jesus and truly standing steadfast in our faith, knowing that we have to be settled. We have to be established in our faith, knowing that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The coming of the Lord is near. Verse 10 of James chapter 5 says, take my brethren, the prophet, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So James was saying, look at my brethren, the prophets. James was calling the prophets of old his brethren. And those of us who are in Christ's family, we are all brethren. So James called the prophets of old his brethren, who spoke in the name of the Lord. Take them for an example, James said. Take them for an example of suffering persecution. And we can look back in the Old Testament and see many of those prophets, they suffered persecution. We see Isaiah, we see Jeremiah, Zechariah, and all those prophets, they suffered persecution for the truth of God's word. So James said, look, take them for an example. Look on their lives. Take them for an example of suffering persecution and how they endured. So we have to look back and see how they lived, how they endured hardship, how they endured persecution. And they did not turn from their faith, but they consistently walk in their faith. Christ himself spoke in Matthew 5, 11 and to 12. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12 said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. So Jesus here was speaking to his disciples and reminding them that they are going to be persecuted. They are going to suffer a lot of hardship. But they should remember that even the prophets of old also went through hardship and they endured. So we also need to know that we have to endure hardship as good soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ. We have to come to understand that this life in Christ calls for us to gear up our minds to suffer. Just as Christ suffered, we also are to prepare to suffer for the sake or for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us go forth with the right mindset and knowing that the Lord is calling us to the place of maturity where we will stand up as mature believers settled in Christ Jesus, knowing that the prophets of old also had gone through these times of affliction, the times of persecution, but yet they endured to the end. And Jesus is also calling us, people of God, to endure to the end. And those who endure to the end, the word of God says that we shall be saved, we shall be rescued. And we want to know that our Lord Jesus fights for us. He is our mighty warrior. He is the one that has conquered death and the grave. He has conquered our enemy, Satan himself. He has made a public disgrace of the enemy. And today, people of God, we can stand assured that we are more than victorious through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God bless you here this evening. We'll stop there for this evening. And we will continue in James chapter 5 next week. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word to us this evening. We thank you, O God Almighty, that you're illuminating your word to us. And as we go through, O God Almighty, Lord, this continue through this series, we pray at the end of it all, we will come to that place, O God, where we will start to practice your word and to live, O God, that life that is pleasing to you. Our hearts and mind will be geared up for your coming, and we will be ready to go with you when you come. Have your way in our lives, we pray. Bless and keep us by your mighty power as we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus. And we say amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Continue to study the word of God and let the word of God be a lamp to your feet and a light to your pathway. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.